Well, please remain standing and let's turn our attention to Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. We are coming very close to the end now of this book. Tonight I'm going to be preaching from Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, but I'm going to read a little bit more than that, as I have been doing in this section. I hope that is not vain repetitions, but a blessing to you as you memorize God's word and treasure it. Ephesians 6, 10 through, I'll just go to the end. We're so close. I'll start at verse 10. Let's hear God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am doing and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. You may be seated. Well, as we've come to the end of Ephesians, having considered the many blessings that God gives to us in Christ, blessings which are given in love, blessings which are given to us in a love that is predestined and planned even before the foundations of the world, that God has established a new creation, a new people, a temple in which we are being built up upon the foundation of Jesus and the apostles and the prophets. As he has given us instructions for how we ought to live in the world, he now comes to the end of this book, of this letter, and gives us instructions on how we are to persevere, on how we are to remain strong in what truly is a battle. We cannot forget this fact, that the Lord has placed us in a situation in which we are called to fight, to be watchful, to be alert. If this weren't the case, he wouldn't say so, and he wouldn't use all of this language of weapons and shields and armor, etc. Our enemy, the devil, is against us. He has plans against us, and we are to be prepared. We are to stand strong. But as we have been learning and considering these various aspects of what we call the armor of God, we've been learning that this armor is essentially to stand in union with Christ himself. To put on the armor of God is to be in Jesus Christ. These various aspects of his armor I've been referring to as the strengths. These are the strengths that God gives to us for the fight. Strengths which are not separate, that we somehow go out and collect apart from our union with Christ, but the strengths that we receive in our union with Christ. To remind you of that, I'd like to read to you a verse we sang earlier from Be Thou My Vision, verse 3. This is exactly the point we've been making. Be thou my battle shield, sword for my fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. You see, there it is, and what we've sung and what we hear here in our text. Our power, our strength, our shield, our salvation is God himself. God as he comes to us and has revealed himself to us in Christ. We've been then considering how Christ protects us with his righteousness, his peace, faith, with truth, and how we go about putting on these things so that we might be ready for war. Now, having thought about these various aspects of the armor, these various strengths in which God gives to us, Paul now speaks about one of the most important activities that we take on as we stand strong in Christ. Here's how Chrysostom put it. See how clever this blessed author is? He has armed them with utmost protection. So now what remains? Only to call on the king and urge him to extend his hand. What remains after knowing the strength that we have in Christ? It is to pray to God and ask for his help, to stand strong, to receive these blessings. And so as we look at this passage, I'm thinking particularly of verses 18 through 20. We find an exhortation, a very clear exhortation to pray. Paul tells us to pray all kinds of prayers, prayers and supplications, he says. And he connects prayer with a kind of alertness and perseverance as we encourage one another along the way. And he even asks the Ephesians directly for their praying of, for him. He says, and pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Here we have at the ending a reminder that Paul writes this letter as a prisoner. He writes this letter as one who is in chains and as one who doesn't want to give up. Now, it's not typical of emissaries and ambassadors to be people in chains. Usually, these are people that receive diplomatic immunity. These are people that receive special favors. They are not put in jail. Nevertheless, Paul is a very special ambassador, a very special emissary. He is the ambassador and emissary of God, of Christ, who has called him to be an apostle. Now, of course, you would think that this would elevate him above all others, all other offices in this world. But as is the way of Christ and all of his servants, we take up our cross and we follow him. And so Paul is here in chains being an ambassador of the gospel, an ambassador of Christ and his word. But he's not going to give up. Though his body is chained, he does not want the gospel to be chained. He wants it to go forth freely and boldly. He's looking for an opportunity. He doesn't want them to be scared or overly depressed. He tells them that Tychicus is coming, that this beloved brother and faithful and minister in Christ will let them know how he and his companions are, that he may encourage your hearts. Nevertheless, Paul wants them to pray, not only for him, but for all the saints, he says. And this is the essential message of the passage. It's pretty straightforward. Pray. Pray at all times, pray at all kinds of prayers, and pray for all the saints. This is how we act as those who are in Christ. This is what we do when we put on the armor of God in this battle that we fight. Well, rather than simply ending there, which I don't think would be all bad, I do think it's worth spending a little time thinking a little bit more about this, maybe answering just some simple questions, but questions that we all have and we all ought to be able to answer about what prayer is and what we're called to do in it. In answering some of those questions, I would like to use our larger catechism, and which gives biblical expressions and answers to some of these basic questions about what is prayer and how do we pray and these kinds of things. If you want to follow and read along with me in some of these questions, you can turn to page 964 in your hymnals, 964 and 965. We won't be reading all of this, but I hope it will give you an encouragement to study and learn our catechism as you see these biblical expressions of our faith in it. The first question, as we do a little teaching tonight, that I want to answer is simply, what is prayer? The catechism answers this in question 178. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. In the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not a wish. Prayer is not self-reflection. Prayer is not simply being quiet. Martin Bucer, the reformer in Strasbourg, put it this way. He said, prayer is a deep conversation of the mind with God. And I'm sure he means not only the mind, but